Yo, help me out here. Where's this death metal dude?
Help!
Bad answer.
It's game time.
Welcome back to N-Express. We are at our main event portion of the show where we are going to talk about No More Heroes, the hit title from 2007 on the Wii, which was largely a big deal because it was one of the first, if not the first, M-rated game on the console.
Yes.
So it gathered a lot of attention for a console that was considered a kiddie console for much of its lifetime. And turned out to be a phenomenally fun game, got a sequel in 2010, and is still, to this day, one of my favorite Wii titles.
Me too.
So, Aaron had played it before, I had played it before, but Ricky is the newcomer to the series. So, Ricky, you just played No More Heroes for the first time, and what do you think?
Okay, so here's the thing. I totally get the hype. I actually kind of really want to play the sequel now because I'm told the sequel is even better. I totally get it. I think this game is pretty, pretty incredible. But I also think it has a lot of problems. In the game, when you're actually playing Travis and you're on an actual mission, like one of the 10 missions, because basically for anyone who doesn't know, you're playing this assassin who's ranked number 11 in the world and he wants to become the number one assassin in the world. So the overall story isn't too complex. You play as Travis Touchdown, a new to the scene killer who's out to become the top-ranked assassin in the world. And in order to get it done, you need to kill off 10 assassins because right now you're ranked number 11, right? Mm-hmm. We all get it?
Yeah.
So when you're actually on one of these 10 missions, it's, like, pretty amazing. And the thing is, I was really worried going into the game because I thought I would hate the control system. Like, one of the things that drives me crazy about the actual Wii is the controls.
Yeah.
Yes, Nintendo did an amazing job with games like Super Mario Galaxy, and, you know, they really challenged the medium in incorporating these new controllers and new ways to actually play video games. You know, that's one of the reasons why the Wii was so popular and sold like 100 million units worldwide, right? So I tip my hat to them, props to Nintendo. But I was like, for this kind of game, which in which you play an assassin, it's more of like a hack and slash game, I was a little worried that it might be a little tough playing with like the Wii controller and the nunchuck. I love the controls for this game. That is, I think, the best part of this game is the actual controls. Like, it's so easy to control. Like, even having a nunchuck in one hand and having the joystick in your like right hand, I find it's so convenient. It's so easy to control. They didn't overcomplicate things. You know, essentially it's just like the use of the A button and the B button, and if you want to charge up your katana sword, you use the number one and shake it. It looks like you're jerking off, which is really weird.
There's a lot of weird references in this game.
Yeah. And then, you know, you move around with the nunchucks. But it's amazing. I was like, holy shit, it's so smooth. It's fantastic. All of my worries are out the window. So I start playing this game. It's got this fantastic intro, fantastic animation. The animation looks like it comes out of like some of the best animes like Cowboy Bebop or, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
It's beautiful cell shading.
Beautiful cell shading.
That's why I still think it looks good today, because when cell shading.
But what I don't like about the game is that, here's the thing. So it's split into two distinct gameplay types. And I'm not a big fan of the Grand Theft Auto free roaming that is used for doing individual missions while you explore the city of Santa Destroy, which I'm assuming is a version of San Diego. The problem with this version is that this whole open world feels very empty and not very exciting. So at first it's so cool, like you're riding around on your motorcycle and you're popping these wheelies, but there it's not very populated with people and or with vehicles, and and you do see some cars drive by and some pedestrians walk by and whatnot, but it's not like playing Grand Theft Auto, you know what I mean? And so I feel like the open world is somewhat disappointing, and the problem is that you have to play these side missions, these side quests, to earn enough money to actually continue on the game, and so I find it slows down the pacing of the game, and that's my problem with the game.
You know,
I think that was most people's problem with the game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Rick. I mean, like the open world, I thought they could have done without it because there was like nothing really to do in this open world except for like maybe like drive back to your house or go to like the clothing shop, and then after that you're just driving off to like to do your next job. You know, there's really not a whole lot to do in outside of like the main missions.
Yeah, it's needlessly spread out across the map.
Yeah.
There are little mini games that you can play here and there, and it does kind of give you a sense of scale as you're going from your house to, I think in that one you go to a baseball stadium, right?
Yeah.
You have to like drive in, and that's kind of cool, and I understand the atmosphere that you're building there, but it's kind of needlessly done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can buy some t-shirts. I guess that's kind of cool. You know, but
I don't know.
you're
I thought it was a little hip, you know, to dress up
well,
your.
yeah, okay.
It's fun.
Once you actually beat the first boss, Death Metal, which I didn't think was too hard to beat, I beat him like on the first like try, right? You know, you get the whole cutscene, and then you know it's okay. It's a bit cheesy, and
A lot of the game was very cheesy, let's be honest.
no, the
That's
whole
kind of
entire
its
game
point,
is
yeah.
cheesy. I mean, the dialogue is silly, but
Yeah.
it didn't bug me because it felt part of that world. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
it references itself at many times. Like, it acknowledges that it is a video game. You know what I mean? And so I didn't mind the cutscenes and the dialogue and or the acting, the voice acting. I thought it was fine within the game I was playing within the world that they are presenting. So you get this amazing cutscene. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I'm digging it, right? It's kind of like sort of like this weird version of like Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill, you know? You know, remember that whole animation sequence in Kill Bill? And you cut and you're inside his apartment and you're in the washroom, which I thought was hilarious because in order to save the game, you have to go for a shit, which is hilarious. And then you can go to the closet and change your costumes, and you go to the fridge and get a drink, which would power you up and energize you. It already comes with a few t-shirts, but there's additional clothes that you can get along the way. All of that is cool. You know, you can take a trip to the gym, you know, which is really funny because it got this weird character named Ryu, I think his name is. And by going to the gym and working out, you actually become stronger. So there is reason for putting these weird things into this kind of game, you know? And I'm a huge fan of wrestling. So just the idea that Travis is like this former professional wrestler. And so every time you collect these videotapes from Dr. Naomi, each videotape teaches you a new wrestling move, which I thought was amazing. So, you know, you go to the local rent shop, you get like a videotape, and it teaches you a new wrestling move. Because actually, when I play the game, I actually like performing the wrestling moves more so than swinging my katana sword, right?
I
You're
agree
really
with you.
good.
Yeah, so there's all these things that I really do like, but the problem is that when you are in the open world, say you're on some kind of like side quest, like some side mission, there are times where it feels repetitive, and there are some times where like if you get hit one time, you automatically lose, and it doesn't even let you retry the side mission, and you have to go look for a new side mission. And I'm like, okay, now I have to drive around, which is the most like I'm okay. Even in real life, I always get lost. You know, even if you give me a map, I'm gonna get lost. I get lost in these video games. So I'm driving around the city, and there's a freaking map on the screen, and I still can't find the specific location I'm supposed to go to. So I'm driving around, and I'm
But it's
so
not even a
frustrated.
big map. It's not really a big world, though.
I know. I have no problem in defeating the bosses, but I have this huge problem of driving around and finding out where I'm supposed to go. And so it's like the worst kind of game for me in that kind of sense because I always get lost. But it's pretty cool. I do like this game. I do think it's amazing. And I haven't finished it. I'm on the fifth boss, but I can't wait to get to the end because I hear there's sort of like a twist ending.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there's a quite a twist ending actually.
There's like multiple twist endings in a row.
Yeah,
Wonderful.
it's true. Yeah, you're right. Not to
Yeah.
mention multiple. I'm like, oh my God, it just doesn't stop. But anyway, no. But you know what? I agree with Rick. I mean, it did tend to drag a bit, especially like when you're doing jobs to collect money to save up for your next mission. You start to get a bit repetitive. Like, especially like what was it? Doing the lawnmower job? Was that
Yeah.
was?
You're mowing lawn.
Yeah, you're mowing
I want to say
lawns.
towards the end, you can just do like Hitman missions and just go kill guys really, really fast and make a lot of money really, really quickly. I think I did that over and over and over again.
Yeah, like you could deliver coconuts, you know, you can wash graffiti off walls. There's all kinds of weird like side quests, which is cool. Like, I don't have a problem with these. It's no different than say like a game like Earthbound or the original Legend of Zelda, where you have to collect money and or you have to boost your like stats in order to fight the next boss, because if not, you're not gonna be able to get the specific weapon that you need, or you're not gonna have enough like power to actually beat the enemy, you know what I mean? So like, you have to put in this extra time to build your character and make your character stronger, and it does become somewhat annoying, but it's part of the game.
Yeah.
The problem I have is that when you're only given like one chance, and like you get hit one time and all of a sudden you're dead. Well, you're not dead, but your mission's over because you got hit one time.
Yeah.
And they don't even give you like a second or third chance. I'm like, really, guys? That's kind of harsh, because then it kind of feels that is when it gets frustrating. I mean, when you die fighting a boss, you don't say start at the beginning of the level. It doesn't like say, okay, we're not going to give you a second chance. You can keep playing over and over all night long until you actually beat the boss, and you start right at the moment you meet the boss. It doesn't even start you at the beginning of the level.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why would it do this for these like side quests? Like, it's so weird. What I love about this game, apart from the visuals, the colors, the cell shading, the animation, the cutscenes, it's a beautiful game. I love the characters.
Yeah.
It's all about the characters.
Yeah, that's but you know what? That's been a thing for me about with Suda 51 though. I mean, like, Before playing No More Heroes, I was already playing a game that he made before it. That's how I came to know No More Heroes and became a fan of his style of making games.
Talking about Killer 7?
Yeah, Killer 7 is fairly familiar to No More Heroes, but a little more darker. But it still kept that whole, like, sort of twisted, comical style characters that you see in No More Heroes, though.
Yeah, but I like Killer 7. You know, for anyone who doesn't know, it was released on the GameCube.
Yeah.
But I think the controls are so much better for No More Heroes.
No, yeah. That's true. Well, because Killer 7 was a rail shooter. I mean, it was a lot of people complain about the controls because it's very, very awkward. But we're not talking about Killer 7 right now. But
it's probably a good idea to state this is from Suda 51, Grasshopper manufacturer. So very, very representative of his style of game. It's very goofy, over the top, lots of sexual references.
A lot.
Just completely over the top. But yeah, characters are completely central to the game. And each one of them is this wacky, larger than life assassin from the United Assassins Association, which in itself is just the best thing ever.
Yeah.
That they hand you a story that's like, oh yeah, there are these like globally ranked assassins try to be number one.
Who's ranking these assassins, by the way?
Exactly. Like,
but you know, even the first assassin, like, he's not very hard to beat. Like, I beat him on the first try, which I was like shocked I actually survived on the first try. His name is Death Metal, and so I'm battling him, and I realized right away that for me personally, it was better for me to use my wrestling move at that point to give you the suplex. But at one point, he just splits into, like, three people, and I'm like, holy shit. And I thought I was going to die. And then I noticed that there was, like, a box on the floor, and I was just about to die, and all of a sudden it gave me, like, health. And I was like, yeah, hell yes. I just restored my health meter, right? And then you get, like, you know, then you get, like, a villain like Shinobu, who's, like, this little assassin girl. And that whole cutscene was amazing, because you actually get, like, this backstory. And okay, I haven't finished the game, but I'm assuming she's gonna come back at the end of the game, because for anyone who hasn't played this, I don't want to spoil it for anyone. Travis does make a decision while fighting Shinobu that can bite him in the ass later on, and I'm not sure, because I'm midway through the game. I want to come back and talk about this game again, and maybe actually go into spoilers next time. But I'm interested to see how that plays into the storyline. And then, you know, you get like Dr. Peace, and my favorite so far is Destroy Man, who's like
the superhero.
Yeah. Maybe you guys can describe him.
A superhero with
that shoots lasers out of his crotch.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean that's all you have to say. Just this really big hulking superhero, and he fires lasers out of his crotch.
Yeah, and I like when Travis meets him. Like, I don't know what, like, sometimes I'm like, you know what, I don't want to play as you, Travis, because you're an idiot. Okay, first of all.
Well, I mean, like, you know, the entire game, he does sound like a bumbling idiot, though.
He sounds like an idiot, yes. Yeah. You mentioned sexual references. Okay, the whole entire game, he's trying to become the number one ranked assassin worldwide just so he can sleep with a girl.
Yeah.
He wants to have sex with her. That's mm-hmm. one. That's what this whole game's about. It's about sex.
Right? Basically.
But when he's fighting Destroy Man, I'm just like, you are such an idiot. Okay, he's like, you're an assassin. You're telling him that you want to kill him. And he's like, okay, can you just turn around for a second?
Yeah.
And so what does Travis do? He turns around. And sure enough, he tries to kill Travis in that 1 second, and he turns around. I'm like, are you an idiot? Mm-hmm. And then he goes to shake his hand. I'm like, why are you shaking his hand? Clearly, he's going to trick you. And sure enough, he tricks him and nearly kills Travis. I'm like, you are such an idiot. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want to play as you. I would rather be playing as a different character.
No, Travis is the best. I really want him in Smash Bros. He's just such a goofy character.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's almost like they just took an average guy and yeah. they're like, he's an assassin with a beam katana.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Actually, the weapon of choice is one of the reasons why I love this game. Like, just the idea of playing this character that who wields a katana is just amazing. I love it. Because you're playing with the Wii remote and the nunchucks, mm-hmm. like, I'm standing in my living room, and I have, like, this huge window, right? So anyone who walks by can see me. And imagine, like, you see this guy sort of, like, moving around really awkwardly. Like, you're passing by, and I see all these people passing by looking at me, like, really strange because they don't realize I'm playing the Wii because the Wii was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm still playing the Wii. It's like, but it's so weird because I'm, like, I'm always trying to pretend, like, I'm always trying to do specific hand movements, like, as if I'm actually swinging a sword, but it never really works, you know? So you kind of have to just jerk your hand. It looks like you're jerking off. So these people walk by and then they see me, like, and it looks like I'm jerking myself off. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta close the shades. It's so weird.
Yeah, eventually you learn to shake the Wiimote, like, really, really
super fast
by the side of your head so you don't look like.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't played this game, basically your sword runs out of energy, so in order to recharge your sword you have to continuously shake the controller. They show you how to do it, like if you did a train mode, and it shows you to do the motion in a jerking sort of like way, right? And then afterwards it's kind of like, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna put it next to my ear and kind of like move my hand
down,
like left and right, yeah, so it doesn't look so weird.
All of the game is over the top.
Actually, and I was really surprised too, because at one point, this is like right away, I think after you kill the first boss, you get like a phone call.
Yeah.
And the sound comes from the actual remote control.
Yeah.
So then I, without even thinking, I put the control to my ear, and it's like I'm holding a cell phone. And yeah. I'm like, holy shit, this is so cool.
Yeah, I remember the first time I played it, and then like when I heard the phone call coming like through the Wii remote, I was like, this is really unique. Well, you know. Yeah, exactly. I thought it was like super, super unique.
And they kind of kept that with the tablet for the Wii U. It still creates separate sounds sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the games that really highlighted it, where you're actually having.
Well, it was like one of the maybe the first games to really make use a lot of the speaker in the Wii remote. I don't know if you would agree.
Yeah, I don't really remember too many games. The Zelda games.
Yeah.
Did just to let you know that you were like powered up or something, but
yeah, but this
never
is...
like in such a like, oh, there's someone talking out of it.
Yeah, like someone talking to you, like you can put it to your ear and it can actually be sort of like a pretend phone. Like that was actually really clever. You know, going back to the controls, which I'm so impressed with the controls. Like I love the fact that at times, like okay, here's the thing. So when I started playing the game, I was like, am I just going to be swinging a sword left and right? Is it going to be one of those typical hack and slash games? Because if so, I'm going to be kind of bored.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that no, you can actually learn different moves, like different wrestling moves, like be it like a DDT and or a suplex, and then like there's like I don't know what you call it. Like there's power up moves, and you know it's when the screen goes all completely gray.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so cool. And you could take out not just one enemy, but like several enemies all at once.
And you're just like going from enemy to enemy, like just chopping heads or like just watching their heads blow up or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the way it subtly goes into slow motion and you hear like the sound of like birds chirping, and you see like a slot machine, and you hear the sound effects from the slot machine, and it starts spinning at the bottom of the screen. And it's not just for show, because all of these things are added because they somehow make you more powerful and or they help you activate one of your dark side powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I thought that, like, when the whole entire screen went gray for the very first time, I thought I was actually dead. Like, I thought someone killed me. I thought I was dead. And I was like, no, I'm not dead. Something really cool is happening. It's like I'm really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, with one single button,
yeah, everything.
I can actually attack, like, several people. So mm-hmm. it was pretty awesome. Like, this game is pretty, pretty amazing, I got to say. If they only... I wouldn't say eliminate the open world game mode, but...
Make it more interesting, I think. Put a little more stuff in there.
And the second one does change up the open world quite a bit, and the side missions become very, very different. They theme it after old school, like NES era yeah. video games.
Yeah, that's true.
So they do kind of learn the lesson. It's still not perfect, but the second one does a lot better yeah. escaping from the open world.
There's so many movie references and references to anime and pop culture within this video game. It's so fun just to spot the references.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of curious. So have you guys finished the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually finished it several times because I remember playing it often to like save my money and get like the strongest or the last tier of the katana. I don't know if you remember it, Tim. It was like with the green blade, and it looked like it just looked like a katana, but with like a green hilt now.
And it was like really fast.
Super fast and right. and insanely yeah. powerful, but it was like
I do remember that.
Yeah, but it was expensive to save for it.
Yeah.
So, because the thing is, okay, for like when I'm talking about pop culture references, like right away when I get on the motorcycle, I was like, holy shit, it's Akira. It looks exactly like the bike from that movie.
Yeah.
And then Santa Destroy has got to be, I'm assuming San Diego, it could be San Francisco, but there's like Pizza Butt instead of Pizza Hut, which I thought was hilarious, you know? I like the fact that Travis, the main character who you play, has like a pet cat, and you actually have to feed the cat, which is hilarious, and he will pet his cat.
Or you can like play games with him too.
Yeah, that's probably like yeah. the best thing about the whole game, is mm-hmm. that you're this assassin, and you're like sentimentally playing with your kitten.
Yeah.
Or even like Dr. Peace, like his weapon looks like the weapon from Killer 7, like the golden gun. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, there's some semi-referential stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. I think
there's references to Star Wars in his game.
Well, like, obviously
like throughout the whole entire game, but not just because of the katana, like mm-hmm. everything about the game, like the credit sequence, the music yeah. at times.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can't get too much into Star Wars talk because the end of the game.
Oh, but... which I haven't finished.
Yeah.
So I guess before we move on, my last question to you is who's the best character in this game? Because I kind of feel like I haven't yet seen the best character.
The best character?
My favorite's still Travis, but I think you've probably gotten a glimpse of Henry, who is also just really, yeah. really
cool. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I was gonna say the same thing, too. I was going to say Henry Cooldown, because he was, like, the exact opposite of Travis.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, not to reveal too much, because I don't think you're there yet, Rick. But I think you've seen him, no? You must have
yeah,
seen him.
I haven't battled him. Like, the last guy I battled was Destroy Man, the superhero guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're still a ways from Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, I love this game. If you haven't played it, I mean, you can still purchase the game and play it on your Wii U, which is what I did, and I bought the game for like $15 plus $5 shipping and handling. I think it was on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cheap. Like, look, to buy a game of this quality for $20 to me is a steal, because I would have paid $60 for this game. No. And I really want to get the sequel. I want to finish this game first. I want to come back on the podcast, talk about the end of the actual storyline on a spoiler sort of like mini review.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to order the sequel. I love this game, so thank you so much for recommending it.
Yeah, no problem. Glad you finally played it.
Yeah, totally love this game.
If you haven't played it yet, go ahead and go play No More Heroes right now. Stop yeah. listening to this podcast. Go play No More Heroes.
Stop listening. Go to Amazon right away. Pick it up. Play it.
Or go vote for Travis Touchdown for the next Smash Bros. Character, because that would be magic.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yes, vote for Travis Touchdown, because you know what? Nintendo needs to know that people actually love this game, and maybe we can possibly see a second sequel release, because I think that this game has a lot of potential. Like, I think I'm picturing a game the size of Grand Theft Auto, but it's no more heroes, and you play as this assassin, Travis. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be amazing.
Yeah, make it happen. Suda51, if you're listening, make
please,
it happen.
Yes, please. Please make another No More Heroes game.
Nintendo exclusive No More Heroes. We want it.
Yeah.
That will bring our main event to an end. So long to No More Heroes. Hopefully soon we will get to No More Heroes 2 and a full review of No More Heroes once Ricky is finished playing it, which he's certain to do. It's such a good game. I am going to get going, and Ricky and Aaron are going to finish up with our final segment, our post-game content. You can find me on Twitter at TheFreemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, and on SoundOnSite.org in the game section. We will take a brief break and be right back to NX Express.